This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
All right, Mike, we're on a winning streak for a couple of teams, for several teams. It is a fun time to be a sports fan in the state of Colorado. The Rockies are 500 for the first time in a couple of years. The Nuggets go on a 10-game winning streak, doing something they haven't done in the Nikola Jokic era. Can you believe that? Colorado Avalanche, we're just counting down the days until we get to the playoffs. We got a busy show today. We got the voice of the Nuggets, Jason Kosmitsky, going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. Some amazing guests from the Boys and Girls Club of Weld County. Got the Youth of the Year. And I hear he's a sports fan. So we'll talk to him coming up. And, of course, our friend Dave Dixon. And then Kevin Lytle will join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And another guy transfers out that I really liked, but probably makes sense. The whole show starts now. Era. They've never won 10 games in a row. They've never done it. I mean, you would just think with an all-timer like Joker, this team would have several stints over the years of winning 10 straight. I just remember hearing Calvin Booth at the beginning of last season talking about finding ways to go on a lengthy win streak. And I guess that's what he was talking about. Nuggets win fairly big, not a lot of defensive effort, but didn't have to play much of the fourth quarter. 136-119 over a Memphis Grizzlies team that I hardly know any of the guys that are on this team. I mean, they had so many injuries. Jamal Murray talked about the fact that they were just playing pickup basketball. They weren't even really running set plays. They were just going down and throwing it up. And I guess that can provide a different set of challenges against a team that literally has nothing to lose. A lot of these guys, who knows where they're going to be next year, just going out and firing it up. They just dribble down the floor, throw it up, see what goes in. And for them, they were 19 of 50. They shot 50 three-pointers last night to the Nuggets 36. So they were just tossing it up there. But the Nuggets found a way to get it done. The NBA standings are getting more clear. The playoff picture is getting more clear. The Oklahoma City Thunder have clinched the number one seed and home court advantage throughout. San Antonio will be the number two seed. And Denver is a win away from locking up the third seed, or a loss away with the Lakers. And I would imagine that's going to happen. And then Denver would take on Minnesota in the first round. And then they would get San Antonio in the second round, the way this would go. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. Minnesota scares me a bit, but they're also riddled with injuries. So this could be an opportunity to go get them. Mike, let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, I was going to go with the Rockies getting to six wins. We are 24 wins away from shave time, haircut time. Still not feeling the effect of it yet. The bet really hasn't kicked in. But I'm going to go with 10 in a row. When you do something you've never done in the Joker era, which is crazy. We say that almost every night with Nikola Jokic, is there's something being done that's never been done before. But as wild as it is, they haven't done it before with him. They're easily their best player of all time, and they get it done last night by beating the Grizzlies. The bad is probably the fact that it did take some time again. You know, I feel like I overuse this phrase, but playing with their food, it does kind of seem like that. Same with Portland the other night. I think that they're at this stage now where it's just, let's go. Let's get to the playoff. I've been in that mode with like 14 games remaining. I just want to see this team in the playoffs, and whatever happens, happens. I'm ready to be stressed out of my mind, Mike. This is the last week of stress-free. How about that? Next week's going to be tough. I'm excited for it, but I'm also like nervous because I don't want to be stressed out. The ugly Mike, we hinted at this yesterday. The Mike Vrabel, Diana Russini story is a rough one. And I feel, they made their bed. I don't know what exactly went on, but there's photos of them at a expensive resort, an adults-only resort. They're hugging. They're holding hands. They're not like walking and holding hands. They're like holding hands out in front of each other. And then they're hugging, and then they're both in their bathing suits sitting poolside. Nobody else around. Now, Vrabel and I believe Russini are both saying that they weren't really, this isn't what it looks like, I guess, Mike. But we had a lengthy conversation about this yesterday, didn't we? That even if they're not having, you know, even if the small chance is that they're not having a romantic relationship, it's still a bad look for an NFL reporter. And I'm telling you guys, I've been called a reporter a lot. I'm not a reporter. I'm zero chance. Yes, have I reported on things before? Rarely will I get some kind of breaking news locally here that I can push out or a whiff of something. Sure, but I don't. That's not what my daily work is. My daily work is to consume sports and give you opinions of the games and the stories that surround the games. If you are a reporter, it is different. I'm going to ask, we got Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado and later on the show. If you see Kevin hanging out on a regular basis, like going for beers, going golfing, all that stuff, with the head football coach for Colorado State, Jim Mora, are you going to think Kevin is more credible or less credible when he's reporting? I would imagine you're going to think, well, he's best friends with Jim Mora, so he's always going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's never going to be critical of the guy. There's rare occasions where a reporter is friends with someone and they can still take him to task. You don't see it very often. Like, you're not going to hear Colin Cowherd get on air and bash Sean Payton. Those guys are tight. He might be critical of something they're doing, but you're not going to hear him say, oh, he needs gone. That guy needs to be out of here. But again, Colin Cowherd is not what you would call a breaking news reporter, a guy that's spending his day reaching out to sources and getting inside scoops. He does that. Radio guys do that. Diana Russini is different. Now, she's opinionated, too. She's not like just full on facts. She gets on and talks about her takes on sports and all this stuff. But I guess my question is, because there is a small percentage of people that are like, there's nothing wrong with this. This kind of goes into our line of, you know, our conversation, like, if the Nuggets win a championship, if the Avalanche win a championship, should the beat writers that are covering this team celebrate with them? Should they have drinks and hoist up the trophy? I don't have a problem with that kind of thing, because I think in that moment, season's over. It's a celebration. Who was the Denver Post reporter that writes for that was the beat writer for the Avalanche, but he was posting pictures of himself, you know, drinking and partying, smoking cigars, holding up the Stanley Cup with the Avalanche, and a lot of people had issues with that. That thing, I don't think about that one as rough, because it's a beat writer that's beat is the Avalanche. He's around the Avalanche every single day. And in that moment, season's over. There's no more, for one night, there's no more critique. There's no more, oh, Bednar should have done this. What's next season look like? For one night, we don't do that. If you are doing that, you're insane. If you can't just, after a title, that night, it's all about, wow, what an awesome night. The next day, you start getting into, okay, what's next for the team? That's how it rolls. It goes on pretty quickly. But she's not a beat writer. She's an she works the NFL. So she's discussing and covering everyone in the NFL. Is there an issue? Now, again, they're both married. And you're, if you're on social media, you're probably seeing a lot of her clips now where she jokingly is kind of putting her husband down, calling him average, saying she partied at the Super Bowl and she did things that she wouldn't tell her husband. Well, now all those things that seemed like they were in jest are going to be magnified even more. Poor girl, I don't know. She posts stuff now. She's reporting news in the NFL. And nobody is commenting on her report anymore. It's all about the scandal. It's all about what she did or didn't do with Mike Vrabel. Mike, do you think she's going to lose her job? And is that fair if she does?
I mean, it's a very personal thing between her and Mike Vrabel. And personally, like, you shouldn't get involved in someone's personal life. Like, you, as a job, you shouldn't say, oh, you can't date this person or this person. But when it starts affecting the job,
right?
And it is, that's when you go, okay, you got to sit her down and you say, okay, this is affecting the job and this totally is messing with her job. She's ruined her credibility, whether it's cheating or not. She's ruined her credibility. It's gone.
Is this something where you think it will blow over? In 6 months' time, are we talking about this story? Is she going to be able to get on and do a segment on the NFL or report something about the NFL without people just flipping out and just making it all jokes? Is she actually going to be considered a credible reporter in 6 months from now?
I don't think so. She's going to have to start over. I think she probably loses her job, has to go independent.
She probably would have to morph her position to more of a, she's just flat out an opinionated person, not a reporter.
And this hurts Mike Vrabel too, but it doesn't hurt him as much.
Is that sexist?
Like it makes him look bad.
Yeah, but his job is not to report on things. It doesn't affect his coaching.
Yeah, it hurts him, but it doesn't hurt him as bad because that's not like
right.
If he was doing something with a someone from a different team, that would hurt him.
Patriots fans, when the season starts, are not going to take him to task if he makes a call and challenges a call and loses it, or puts in a unique substitution, or starts a different player at a position. It's going to be football. That's the way this is. She's different because of her role, I believe. Now, some are saying, why is Vrabel not being raked through the coals like she is? It's a different position, man. It is. If the shoe were on the other foot and this was a head coach, a head women's coach of something, and it was a reporter was the male, I still think that reporter would be getting the same kind of crap every post he puts out if it's about the league that he's covering.
Yeah, it's not about the person themselves. It's about the position they hold. And her position is compromised.
Faith says, I get she's a reporter and he isn't, but the double standard is wild to me. Nothing job-related will happen to him. But I truly believe it's not. I mean, yes, is there some there's a sexist take, I'm sure, in there. And it's just society. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm not excusing it. However, I think a reporter in this case, if your job is to cover the NFL and you will occasionally talk about the Patriots, everything you say about the Patriots from now on will not be taken seriously. I don't believe people are now going to go to her as a real source. I think she lost that competitive edge of her winning over any clicks other than clicks now. She's getting a lot of clicks now. But if she puts a story out about the draft, let's say she puts out a mock draft, is that mock draft going to be taken as seriously as another reporter? No, it's not.
Look, to be fair, if a man does the same thing with a female coach, he should be treated exactly the same as she is.
And I do believe that I think he would on X.
I certainly hope so.
It's a vile world on X, man. And I truly believe that if a male reporter was in the same situation, if that male reporter is posting stuff about the NFL, I think the comments are all going to be about his affair or alleged affair. I believe that. And I would imagine if this were, you know, Adam Schefter, and it was the same situation, and we saw Adam Schefter in this post with a head, let's just say for sake of argument, just happens to be a head NFL coach. We finally got a female NFL coach. You're not going to take him as seriously. And it's going to hurt his credibility. It's going to hurt your network's credibility going forward. And is that fair? Should a reporter be able to date a head football coach or a player? Should a radio person or TV personality be able to? Yes, it's happened before. But this is just different. She is a reporter. She is married. That does come into this. And some people say, oh, I don't want to talk about it if it's personal because it's not my business. It hurts your integrity. It just does.
If she worked for the Patriots, if she was a Patriots reporter for NewEnglandPatriots.com or whatever their website was, wouldn't be as big of a deal. You'd look at the alleged affair and you'd look at that, but you wouldn't care about the position because she's already reporting on the Patriots. So you're like, it's not really compromising, it's propaganda anyway. But she's in a position where she's not supposed to be biased, and here we are thinking she's probably going to be biased. So that's what's hurting her position.
Now, they're insisting that this was all an innocent reaction, claiming that the pictures did not show the rest of the group that was with them. I'm just going to say it. If you see a picture of me holding hands outward, both my hands are out in front of me, and there's another female holding hands like that, and then the next image is of us hugging, and then we're sitting by each other at a pool, both in our bathing suits, and you don't see any pictures of anybody around, my wife will see those. And I will be in some serious trouble. That is what it is. You mean to tell me nothing? I mean, I'm trying not to get into the personal side of this. Faith says, as a leader of men, why should he be taken seriously by his staff and his players? It's going to hurt. There's going to be some players that are like, you're not the man I thought you were. Yeah, I don't respect you as much. Yeah.
It is affecting him. A lot of people out there, they see loyalty in marriage as a strong thing, and they're going to look at him differently.
It could hurt your character. It definitely hurts your character. I mean, I'm not talking politics here, but whether we're arguing about Bill Clinton being a good president or a bad president doesn't matter. Everything that we've talked about with Bill Clinton has been I did not have sexual relations with that woman. That will forever be what Bill Clinton is famous for.
Yeah, like it. That's what you think of him for. Like,
and did he not get bashed?
Yeah, nobody remembers.
Does he still
his
not
policies.
Get bashed? You want to talk about it being sexist? Who got the worst end of that deal? Bill Clinton or Monica Lewinsky?
Bill Clinton. Although Monica Lewinsky did get a lot of hell.
She did.
Bill
but,
Clinton got way worse.
He still was able to make a lot of money, and his wife, of course, ran for president. But in terms of people that make fun of that story, it's Bill Clinton and then Monica Lewinsky. Faith says the rest of the group should speak up and say it was nothing. They aren't, though. Yeah, I'm not hearing from any of the rest of the group. 23 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. I want to talk some Nuggets later on in the program. We got Jason Kosmitsky, the voice of the Denver Nuggets, going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. Very excited about these next guests coming up at the bottom of this hour, though. We've got Dave Dixon, Chief Executive Officer of Boys and Girls Club of Weld County. They have a wonderful gala coming up, their 44th annual Elegant Night Gala on April 25th. But here's the awesome part. We've got the Youth of the Year coming in here. Jesse Granados is going to join us, 17 years old. And the stuff that he does to get to become the Youth of the Year and what's next for him, these are the stories that give me hope. And I'm really excited about these next guests. Keep it here on the whole show. We're powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mission to provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on. like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We have some great guests in studio. You've heard us talk about, you've heard the ads about the Boys and Girls Club event coming up, the 44th Annual Elegant Night Gala. Joining me now, first off here, we've got Dave Dixon, Chief Executive Officer, great friend of the station, listener too, man. You call me out a few times. You know,
I do listen.
A few times. Dave, my friend, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having us on, and we so appreciate our partnership with you guys.
We love it, absolutely. And I tell you, these stories here, I'm just blown away, and I've only got a very small sample size of what this kid's been up to. But we've got a great guest in studio. It just happens to be the Youth of the Year.
It does, yeah. So as you know, we are it's a busy time of year for us, not only because you mentioned on the tease coming in, going out of the break, that we have our Elegant Night Gala coming up here at the end of the month. And the connection here is that our Youth of the Year is one of our keynote speakers at our Elegant Night every year. So we are so proud to have Jesse Granados. He's actually a multiple year representative for us as the Youth of the Year. And I'm going to introduce him and talk about what it takes to what he has to do to become not only our Youth of the Year, but what's especially good timing with this right now is that he's getting ready to go down and compete at the State Youth of the Year competition coming up here. I think he has to go down next, like Sunday, to report, and then it's early next week is the competition. But Jesse, I'll let you talk about, maybe just introduce yourself a little bit, maybe where you go to high school and stuff like that, and then we'll talk a little bit about your Youth of the Year experience and what the process is for Boys and Girls Clubs of Well County and how you've become the Youth of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Oh, let's get your mic on real quick. Oh. There we go. We got it. You're ready.
Yeah, honestly, first of all, I mean, it's a great honor to be the Youth of the Year for as long as I've been it. I started my freshman year I'm a senior now at Northridge High School, which is crazy. It's like
time flies, man.
Time flies. Yeah. And they tell you that, and I was like, no, you're an older head. You don't know what you're talking about. No, but really, time does fly.
Yeah,
high school felt like a breeze. But yeah, so I started doing Youth of the Year my freshman year. Nervous. They asked me if I wanted to do it. I was like, sure. And then all of a sudden, I had to write 3 essays, come up with a speech about my history and the impact that Boys and Girls Club has had on my life. And it was crazy. It was crazy at first, but I loved every second of it. And I went into it my first year going against these juniors and seniors that were at Boys and Girls Club at the time. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm doing it for fun this year. You know, I'm probably not going to win. And then all of a sudden, I won. And that first year, I won $10,000 scholarship.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome, yeah, right there. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl are excited about that live studio audience.
Yeah, that one was crazy. It really touched my heart. I was like, there's no way. And so I just kept the momentum going, and now I'm here, you know, third time being Youth of the Year. I'm going to represent Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County at State, and I'm going to have a great time. It's going to be amazing. I love State all the time. The people I've gotten to meet is incredible.
So when you gave your first speech, take me through that, because when I did speech stuff at UNC, and I do radio for a living, yeah, but speeches, that terrifies me still to this day. What was that first speech like?
Yeah, so up to that point, I had never done anything like that. So I was terrified, like literally terrified. And in one of the clips at State level that same year, though, like I was giving my speech, and one of the things I said was like, "What's up, guys? I'm terrified right now." It's like it's a clip and it's out there somewhere. But yeah, like it's terrifying when you stand up there for the first time, and it does get easier somehow, you know, when you realize that people are there for you. You know, you're like, you're a pretty cool dude if you're up there giving a speech.
Oh,
know?
Heck yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I was like, but yeah. But
And to put it in perspective, he's one of 17 kids that go down to compete at the State Youth of the Year competition. So there's 17 Boys and Girls Club organizations like Weld County around the state. And they all are allowed to submit a representative. So it's a pretty elite group to begin with.
It's a very, very elite group. What goes into this? You know, you're saying essays and speeches, but what else? I'm guessing there's a ton of things that you have to do to get that honor.
Yeah, I mean, it builds you up. So I've been going to Boys and Girls Club since I was 5 years old. It's been 12 years now that I've been going to Boys and Girls Club. And the reason I was chosen was one of the staff, they saw me and I had been involved in all the other things that come with Boys and Girls Club. They have Torch Club. They have Keystone, which are Torch Club is a program where we give back to the community. So we had projects where we would take stuff to the recycling center. We'd go volunteer at the food bank and do all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah. And then we had Keystone, which is a program literally made to give back to the community. Because we give – Boys and Girls Club gets so much from the community, we have to output it somehow. So it's a group of kids run fully by us that just give back to the community, have community projects and do all that stuff. So I just was involved in all those things, and I guess I stood out. And so they asked me, he's like, hey, we also do this thing called Youth of the Year. And they told me about how it starts at the county level, it goes state, regionals, nationals. And I was like, yeah, that's something I would love to do. And so I started my journey there, and now it's now this year I'm looking like I'm hoping to have a good shot to make regionals.
Yeah, you've already got a better resume than most people that I've ever met. I mean, that is going to, you are going to go so far. It's going to be exciting to see what you do with all of this, man.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm so glad too, because I mean, for a long time growing up, college seemed like such a stretch. Like it could not happen at all. Like I felt like, okay, you know, my parents just work all day. I'm probably going to end up living the same life, work. I don't know if college is really in the budget right now. And so when I got that first scholarship, I was like, dang, like this could be my reality. And so as I started looking at careers, I started going through things like entrepreneurship. I wanted to go to business school. I knew that for a fact. And now I have a cool plan set. Like I want to go to Ames, transfer to CSU, get double majors in political science and business marketing with a minor in ethics studies.
Look at this guy.
And I hope to go to law school at Boulder, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like, you've got it all. First off, I love you, your head was on your shoulders at a very early age. You're already thinking like, okay, college isn't in the budget. I didn't even know what that meant when you started thinking about it. I'm not thinking. Senior year, I'm like, I guess maybe college. Yeah. I don't know. And you're telling me you're already thinking of the future. And then you start getting dollars for scholarships and you're thinking, that's my path. That's how I can do this. And you've been driven at such a very young age.
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of that also has to do with Boys and Girls Club. I mean, I started going to Boys and Girls Club because my mom obviously worked two jobs, like probably more than that. She was a single mom for a while because it was just me and my brother at the time. And you notice it. I don't know how I noticed it, but I just noticed it. And I was like, okay, so I'm here for a reason. Like, my mom's struggling. And, you know, you constantly think about the future when you're in that situation, you know, even as a kid, like people tell you live your life as a kid, but we want to think about the future. And then it's like, so noticing those things, like my mom being in that situation, I was like, yeah, I probably should try to contribute instead of, you know, focusing on my own goals and dreams. And then as I grew in the Boys and Girls Club, they provided so much for us. So I had the opportunity to think about college, which was incredible. So
this is just, Dave, you've got to be beaming just listening to this.
I
obviously,
mean,
I'm just hearing this guy. I'm like, hey, you want to work here? You know, I mean, you're going to have a lot of people coming after you, man.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was cool too. I saw you out there reading the Greeley Lifestyle magazine. You didn't know this. You're flipping through the magazine, and in the middle of the magazine's a giant picture of your face doing giving a speech here. Yeah. You didn't even know that was in there.
No idea. And I think that's so cool. I want to frame that.
Well, like, it's yours now, man.
It's incredible.
I mean,
like,
$500. That's how cool is that? You start opening this magazine and you're like the center of it.
Yeah. And I think that's so cool. Like, my big thing is my community. Like, my community built me. Like, it takes a village, you know? And that's so crazy, you know, being recognized in the Greeley Lifestyle magazine. Like, even if, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's whatever. But, like, I think it's huge because that means I'm the community recognizes me. And I think that's incredible because I attribute so much of my success to this community. So
It's just so great to hear that, man.
Well, we're super proud of him, obviously, too. And you can imagine why. And while we appreciate and hope that we've contributed and helped help Jesse get to where he's gotten. I mean, it also just takes the person too, right? So so he needs to. I know he gives us a lot of credit, but he also needs to just give himself a lot of credit too. But of the kind of person he is. So, and we're his biggest fans. We're going to be cheering him on this coming week. And because the way it works too is if he wins, then our State Youth of the Year representative for Colorado gets entered into a regional competition. And there's five regions across the Boys and Girls Clubs of America organization. And so when you go, if those five regional finalists all come together and compete just the way he did at our club level, and he's getting ready to do it at the state level. But then if they advance, you know, from the regionals, they pick a winner. And then you're the National Youth of the Year, and the National Youth of the Year are the kinds of kids that you see throwing out first pitches at the World Series, and lots of opportunities that get put in front of you if you make it to there. So.
Wow.
Yeah, National Youth of the Year is insane. Like, I was looking, and so some of the things that come with it, like, you get a lot of scholarship money, like, put yourself through college, and a $5,000 shopping spree, a car. You know, like,
oh my gosh,
it's insane.
It's quite the
first pitches at the World Series. Like, it's
those kinds of things. Yeah, I don't know if that's an always
sign that. And let me have that back. You know, let me keep that magazine.
You might
want
that. You can do that because we have plenty of those.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but you're so humble too, man. Like,
thank you.
You've achieved so much, and you're coming in here, and you're just humble, and you can tell. You can just read it off of this dude.
Yeah.
So it's like sky's the limit for you, bro.
Yeah, and I mean, It's good to be humble too, because, like, I know I wouldn't be here without anyone. You know, everyone in my life has contributed some way, shape, or form. Even the people who maybe a lot of people think have a negative connotation on my life, like either a past relationship or past friends or, like, things. But I think that's huge, because you grow as a person. Like you don't realize it, but you always learn from every experience you have. So I think it's really, really cool to be in this position right now. And I thank everyone that's doubted me. I thank everyone that's supported me. And I thank everyone that's, you know, been against me and that's been for me, because it's all worked, you know, to help me. And I love that.
You love doing the speeches? You love giving speeches?
Oh, yeah. I didn't used to love giving speeches.
But now it's like.
Now it's like, yeah.
And you don't go up there with note cards or anything?
No. So for state, you have to memorize.
You do?
Speech.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So and it's like.
And he won't, because he is humble, he won't toot his horn, but he does a really good job, yeah.
How long are these speeches?
So they can be over 3 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that
so you have
still
to,
terrifies me.
And tell them about, like, the content and stuff. Like,
Yeah.
So you have to talk about your experience at club. It's a huge thing. So, like, how you grew up, what club has done for you, like, how it's impacted your life, you know? Because, I mean, in all reality, club is impacting all of our lives, especially, like, all our club kids, like, but. Now you're just taking that and putting it into words and making people feel like your story, you know? I was actually at the Speak Up for Kids Day at the Capitol yesterday, and one of the things that one of the legislators says, I think it was Scott, he was one of our...
Oh, Scott Bright?
Yeah,
one of our senators?
Yeah. He said, it's not statistics or numbers that influence people's choices, it's your story and your impact. So that hit me some type of way, you know, because it's like, that is true. Like, people aren't always going to look at the numbers or the statistics, you know. People are going to look at the story, like the story behind everything. And so I think that's one of the most important parts of doing these speeches.
I think this is so powerful, too, for Boys and Girls Club, because, you know, we can hear about it. We can talk about it. We obviously have a connection, so we know the impact that Boys and Girls Club of Well County has on this community. But when you get somebody that was there growing up around all the great folks at Boys and Girls Club of Well County, and then to use that as a way to drive and motivate and then give back to the community as well. It's very powerful.
Oh, yeah. It's huge, you know, and it just goes back to one of those things. It's like my dad could tell me how great Michael Jordan was, but if I didn't see it myself, like, I wouldn't know, you know. So
is it Michael Jordan or LeBron James, by the way? Who's the GOAT there? This is a big one here. It's a big test.
I think it's generations, you know? LeBron's the GOAT of this generation.
That's a good
Michael
answer.
The GOAT of his generation.
Politics already in the future, like you said, man.
Well, and I told him, be prepared. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, who's your favorite team?
Who's
he had Duke in the bracket.
I did.
So did I, man.
Yeah. I love Duke. But All Colorado teams.
Yeah.
All Colorado.
Well, who's your favorite? What's your favorite team?
The Broncos.
Big Broncos guy. Look at Huge look at him back there. This guy looks like a Bronco threw up on him, so he's happy about that. There's Susan and Cheryl. Broncos are going to be okay? You're going to be okay next year? Next year, you think?
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to be just fine.
Who's your guy? Is it Bo or is it Surtain?
I love Bo. Bo has been my... Everyone on draft day, they drafted him. Oh, he drafted him too high. Oh, he should have been at least a third-round pick. No, I think that was perfect. I think Sean Payton knew what he was doing. He got his guy. When I heard Drew Brees talking about him for the first time, I was like, yep, I know this guy's going to be cool. And Bo Nix comes... First of all, Oregon, my dream school... He came from Oregon. I was like, yep, already love this guy. Because I watched him in Oregon because he transferred from Auburn. I watched him in Oregon, and I was like, this is special.
You were ready.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that guy was going to be the dude. He's a Washington fan, so not you know, in the college side of things. So that's, I guess, where you kind of separate in your fandom there. But you're still Broncos fans at the end of the day.
Yeah.
How about, like, the Nuggets, Avs? We got playoffs coming up. The Rockies are red hot, maybe one of the best teams in Major League Baseball history at this stage.
Okay, Nuggets, first of all.
Hey, we're hopeful.
Nuggets, first of all.
Diehard fans of the Rockies, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, six. I mean, they're 500. Yeah. They're 6-6. You can't get to 7-6 if you're not 6-6 to start.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just easy math there.
Nuggets are on a crazy run right now. I think, like, what, 9, 10?
10 in a row. First time in the Nikola Jokic era they've won 10 in a row. Isn't that wild?
That's insane. And that game against San Antonio was insane.
Oh, it was great.
Crazy comeback. We were at the Rockies game that day against the Phillies, and then my friend, he's a Golden State guy. He's just giving me crap because the Nuggets were down like 30 at one point. All of a sudden, we're in line. He goes, how did the Nuggets just tie it? I'm telling you.
It's Joker's miraculous, man. It's a great time to be a sports fan in the state of Colorado.
And then we were even talking about, because now we have the women's Major League Soccer, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean,
Summit,
that's... Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And our Rapids team is really good. Like, nobody talks about that. Like, Rapids are good.
There's just so many things going on. It's excellent, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, guys. Is there anything else that we want to get out there before I let you guys slide out of here today?
No. We just appreciate you having us on. And again, and for all the listeners, appreciate all their support. Again, we're excited for Jesse. We'll be rooting him on. And we'll get to...
Yeah.
And up here in this community, we'll get to hear from him at our Elegant Night coming up on April 25th, and so we're just looking forward to a great night then too.
Jesse, don't be a stranger, man. We'd love to have you back in.
Oh, I'd love to.
We'll just talk sports, man.
When
you're running for president, you just pop in here at the studio and hang out with us for a while.
Yeah. Well,
got to remember the little guys.
How about especially if he wins?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
No, we'd love to have you back on.
I mean, thank you guys for the opportunity. I mean, this is really cool. I've never done radio. I've just been like, hey, what if I start a podcast? But, you know.
We got a podcast studio right back there, man. You're going to get my information, so let's talk.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. I thought this was such a cool opportunity.
You guys are awesome. Hey, best of luck to you. Congratulations on all your success, man. It really is a wonderful story, and I'll be interested to learn more about you as we go.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, guys. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
All right, man, that was good. Jesse Granados, the Youth of the Year. That guy's got big things in store, and Dave Dixon, obviously awesome. Great partners here of the station. Check out Boys and Girls Club of Weld County. Go to their website. You can find them more on bgcweld.org. Learn all about them. They're doing phenomenal things. It's the whole show. We'll wrap up hour number one coming up next.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. I want to thank the Eaton Country Club. We got the Masters underway, and you're watching it, and you're thinking, man, I want to go golf. I want to go to a great course and join, be a part of a wonderful membership there. That's the Eaton Country Club. They also have several tournaments, though, throughout the year you can check out to see if you want to be a part of everything they got going on over at the Eaton Country Club. Check them out online at eatoncc.net. First of Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, Mike, coming up, we got the top stories of the day. I do want to get, we'll get back more into the Mike Vrabel stuff. We had some texts coming in on that. I want to discuss that. It's an odd story. You know, it does kind of remind me of the Coldplay thing with that CEO and all the scandal there. It's similar to that. So we'll get into that a little bit later on the program. And then the voice of the Denver Nuggets, Jason Kosmitsky, the Cause, is going to join us at 12:20. We'll talk all things Nuggets and see, you know, he's been there for this whole thing, man. He's got to see Joker grow up as a Denver Nugget. You know, what a freaking awesome job. And Kaz is one of the greats, and we're honored to be able to carry Nuggets and, of course, Avalanche games right here. So you get to hear Kaz on the KFKA airwaves quite often, and we'll get to hear him on the whole show here coming up soon. Plenty to get to. Kevin Lytle joining us, the Colorado State Rams. More changes coming. One of their assistant coaches just got a pretty nice gig. We'll talk about that coming up as well. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.